Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up today, as Pope Benedict marks the 7th anniversary of his pontificate, the head of the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity unveils a new book exploring the thought and theology of this Holy Saturday Pope. The value of volunteering is revealed in a new volume presented by Caritas and the Pontifical Council Cor Unum, and Animate Youth, a vibrant ministry breathing new life into the church in Liverpool. The mystery of the mustard seed as a symbol of hope at the heart of secular society. That's the image the president of the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, Cardinal Kurt Koch, has taken for the title of a new book exploring the thoughts and theology of Pope Benedict XVI. In the book, released on Monday, the Pope's 85th birthday, just ahead of the anniversary of his pontificate, the Swiss Cardinal says the pontiff is often misunderstood and criticised for his views on the renewal of the Catholic Church. But in Benedict's view, he says, the Church is like the tiny mustard seed, acting as a leaven that starts with small movements inspired by the Holy Spirit. Cardinal Koch says it's a fitting image for a man who was born and baptized on one of the most significant days of the liturgical year, the day between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Cardinal Koch, you were presenting a book of reflections about the work of Pope Benedict. Why did you choose the title The Mystery of the Mustard Seed?
Because this image of the Bible, of the Holy Spirit, Scripture, is an image that the Holy Father uses always. And this will indicate it that all who is important in the world and in the church began very small. And the Holy Father has interpreted this image that the church is always in between Holy Friday and Easter. And this between Holy Friday and Easter will be indicated by this image.
It's particularly appropriate for a pope, for a man who was born himself on Holy Saturday, isn't it?
It's clear that the Holy Father interprets his life always in the light of Easter, because he is born and baptized on the Saturday before Easter. He is the middle between Holy Friday and Easter.
We're marking the 7th anniversary of his pontificate, as well as his 85th birthday. If you could summarise, perhaps, if you could say what you think are his most significant contributions to your work here of ecumenism over these past 7 years.
I think what the Holy Father had said in Erfurt, in the meeting with the Evangelical Church in Germany, is very important for his vision of the ecumenism, that the question of God is the most important issue today in our society, and is very important that all the churches and communities will make testimony of the presence of God in this world. And the second shift is the Christocentric view of the faith, the Christian faith. And I think when we can concentrate all our power and our testimony of the risen Lord, we can give human testimony of our faith. And this is the deepest fundament of the ecumenism.
This pope is also very concerned about trying to bring the Society of St. Pius X back into the church again. A society, of course, which is not known for being in favour of ecumenism in any way. Is this a concern for you at the moment?
No, I think that the Holy Father will deepen the roots, the Christian roots of our society today, because our society is very secularized. And they don't know the religious Christian roots of our history, of our society, and is very important to mention it. I don't know the answer of the Lefebvrean society, of the Lefebvrean community. I hope that they can accept the Second Vatican Council, because I don't see why we can be Catholic without reception of a council.
My thanks there to Cardinal Kurt Koch, President of the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity. A new volume on volunteering in Europe was presented at a press conference in the Vatican on Friday. The publication in six languages follows on from a conference of Catholic volunteers that took place here in the Vatican last November to coincide with the European Year of Volunteering, underlining the important role of such gratuitous service to the well-being of local and national societies. From fundraising for emergency relief to providing practical help for disaster victims, from working with the homeless, disabled or refugees, to lending a hand in your local parish. In a world where jobs and economic prospects look increasingly insecure, the contribution of volunteers to the fabric of European society has proved to be playing an increasingly vital role. EU estimates show at least 140 million people are involved in volunteer work, many of them motivated by the values of their Christian faith. Cardinal Robert Sarà is president of the Pontifical Council Cor Unum, which organised a meeting of European volunteer organisations back in November 2011.
We insist that the gospel must be the inspiration of our action. And as we know, the gospels ask us to act very generously without asking for any reward.
Can you give us some examples of places where you've seen this generous spirit of volunteering in action, making a real difference?
For example, when I went to Haiti, many young people came just to help other people suffering. They are seeing people suffering from the earthquake, you know. So everywhere I went, I can notice that there is a kind of generosity. People giving, well, freely, without any expectation, you know. So everywhere we found this kind of willing to act like this did for us, you know. So in Haiti, in Japan, even for in Africa, I've seen the same thing, you know.
In emergency situations, it's quite easy to see the important effect of volunteering.
Yeah.
In other situations, you mentioned particularly India, it can often be very difficult to work in this volunteering field because it's seen as somehow trying to convert to proselytize.
Yeah. Well, India is very special because the mentality of some Hindus, you know, they are frightened that the Christian value must convert people. So they are thinking that any charitable action is kind of proselytism. It's not true, because in Africa, in Asia, the missionaries have every time acted in generously. You know, they have schools for Christian and no Christian. They have charitable action for Christian and no Christian. So in India, I think the bishop must convince that they are not going to convert Indians into Catholics. You know. But I know it's very difficult for that anyway. But they must work and insist that we are just doing that very generously, without any expectation. You know.
Working closely alongside the Pope's charitable arm, Cor Unum, is Caritas Internationalis, the global confederation of Catholic charities and development agencies, which also relies heavily on its network of volunteers in countries around the world. Michel Roy is Caritas Secretary General.
You need professional, skilled people, but you also need a training of the heart. So it's both heart and expertise. And probably this is, yes, a characteristic of the Caritas work, but the basis of Caritas, really the basis, is volunteers at the grassroots. And those volunteers will be trained, will be accompanied by skilled people. And among the volunteers themselves, you will have skilled people. You know, it's not only... I like volunteers when they are free even if they have a lot of expertise in one or the other field, to go and meet the poor, because this is the important thing, is the cultural revolution in your head when you look at the poor, but when you are with them, that changes a lot of things. And everybody, even very skilled people, have to make this experience as well. So we have, I think, a lot of volunteers which are just grassroots volunteers to build relationship, to build brotherhood, to build a loving relationship, which is very important to help people come out of the poverty.
You're saying this is as important as the practical help that you can be given in difficult situations.
In disaster situations, you really have to help people directly, emergency situations. But if not, the future of the people lies in themselves. So what has to be done is to help them grow, reveal their own talents, and look at the future in a different way. And I've seen, and especially in we were speaking of India, I've seen in India how women, from one day to the next almost, once they've understood that they can, it's not, they should not be passive and fatalistic, but they can change things, and small things, then there will be this move and people will be able to become what they are supposed to be.
So you're talking about empowerment at the heart of the volunteering movement.
Absolutely. Now, the skills, of course, very important. And especially when you manage big funds, you have to have the right management systems in place, in transparency and professional. So this is a must. And we are working a lot on this in the Caritas Confederation, so that every national Caritas has the management standards in place to manage big emergencies. Big emergencies usually arrive when you don't expect them, and if you're not ready to manage that, it's very difficult. So it's a mix of skills and this gratuity, the will to be with more than to act for, which is important. Yeah.
We tend to think of volunteering as giving of our own time, our own skills, our own experience, and yet, as you're suggesting, the experience, the transformation within the volunteer can often be an exchange that we don't expect.
Absolutely. I've seen that so many times. People coming, saying, I have time now, I'm retired, I want to help. Okay, let's go. And you see those people change because they're in contact with homeless, with families who live in very difficult situations, and before being in real relationship, they thought all those people, if they wanted to, they could, But reality is different, and you see that people are victims of poverty more than actors of poverty. It's not their will. It's difficult to come out of poverty once you are in there. But so, and then new volunteers will be changed, really. And they will also maybe rediscover what their faith is in their heart. And yeah, there are plenty of miracles going around there.
Caritas is working very much, though, alongside people of non-Catholic, non-Christian faith, people of no faith. How do you perhaps balance this desire to evangelize through charity with working alongside people who don't share your beliefs?
Yeah. Well, it's not proselytism. For me, evangelization is a way of being a Christian and being with others. And it's true that among the volunteers that come up, there are non-Christians, other faiths, or no faith at all. But this path, I've discovered that in France, of course, where I worked a lot, but in other countries, and I was referring to Bangladesh. Caritas Bangladesh is a big organization, one of the main NGOs in Bangladesh, which is much beyond what the Catholic Church is, with about 250,000 Catholics in 145 million inhabitants. But Caritas is a big sign of... And apart from the diocesan directors who are Catholics and national office people Catholic, but then the staff will be Muslim mainly. And there will be a lot of Hindus in the Hindu areas or Buddhists in the Buddhist areas. And every term they come together one day of recollection. And of course, it's not a Catholic recollection. It's a recollection, spiritual recollection. And you can see that people are growing in their own faith as well, but in an open way. So for the Muslims to become better Muslims, Buddhists become better Buddhists, and Catholics and Christians become better Christians. That is, in that country especially, but in others, a focus of the Caritas work, is to grow into humanity. Then there will be, people learn to know each other's faith, what it is rooted in, So discrimination will decrease, and building a more just and brotherly society becomes more possible.
My thanks there to Michel Roy, Secretary General of Caritas Internationalis, and earlier you heard Cardinal Robert Sarah, President of the Pontifical Council Cor Unum. Animate is their name, and that's exactly what they do in the Northern English Archdiocese of Liverpool. Animate is a youth ministry started almost a decade ago with the idea that young people themselves are best able to reach out and touch the lives of their peers with the good news of their Christian faith. From its humble beginnings, the programme now runs a monthly youth mass and a large retreat centre with weekly celebrations in the popular Life and Soul Café. Each year, its dedicated team of young men and women works with thousands of kids in schools and parishes, leading confirmation classes, mission weeks, pilgrimages to Lourdes, and other annual events designed to bring the gospel to life and make it relevant to young people's individual experiences. You can, of course, find them on Facebook and Twitter, as well as on their animateyouth.org website. But I was lucky enough to meet two of the team face-to-face during a visit to Rome with their very supportive Archbishop Patrick Kelly, who was recently spotted out for a meal with the group on the eve of his Golden Jubilee celebrations. Their name Animate is taken from the Greek word meaning reviving spirit or breath of life. And as I discovered from Woody and Becca, the group really is bringing a lively breath of fresh air to the church in Liverpool and beyond.
Hello, my name's Woody. I have to be all official, I suppose. My name is Richard Netherwood, otherwise known as Woody to most.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Rebecca Wall.
And you are both part of an interesting project, Youth Evangelisation, within the Diocese of Liverpool. Tell us how it started.
Well, it was a project from about 10 years ago, I suppose. I started thinking about what to do with young people, and the idea was to get a team of young people together to do peer ministry, to really share the gospel with young people in schools and parishes.
And you were already quite involved in church life, obviously.
I had quite a background with the Salesians, who are a big influence on my life, and obviously specifically working with young people, so it influenced me quite a lot.
So you went to a Salesian school?
Not a Salesian school, but a Salesian youth club, and ended up at a Salesian retreat centre, and learned a bit more about my faith and a bit more about what Don Bosco's vision was all about.
It was all about education, wasn't
it?
Yeah. So you're trying to, if you like, live that out through your own life and your own work. How are you involved in this project then?
Currently I'm team leader. I started out as a volunteer 7 years ago on what was supposed to be a gap year. And I've ended up being promoted to a performing arts coordinator and now team leader for my second year. And basically my role is to lead the team in the work that we do with young people on day retreats or mission weeks or youth masses or confirmation days, all sorts of stuff that we do throughout the year.
This sounds like a full-time job, is it?
It is for me, yes. And it's one that I love.
And what about you, Becky? How did you get involved?
I've been involved with Animate team since I was 15. I go to Lourdes every summer, and I've been involved with World Youth Day in Madrid this summer. So yeah, I've been to university, and I was a bit confused what to do in the future. And you know, I'd really enjoyed what I'd done with Animate, and so I thought I'd take a gap year to be a Catholic youth worker, basically.
And so, what kind of work do you do now with the youth?
Basically, we work with young people from all over the Archdiocese, and you know, it goes from like Preston and Liverpool, obviously, and we even venture over to the Isle of Man. And we work with young people between the ages of 11 and 25. And as Woody said before, we do mission weeks, we do retreat days, we do confirmation days with them, and we just do all kinds with them, just a fun and interactive way of them to explore the faith, really.
Now, we hear so much about the secular society and the numbers dropping of people attending church and being interested in church. This is obviously not your experience. You've clearly got growing numbers, I presume, of people involved in this kind of project.
Well, I suppose so. Although the work we do doesn't necessarily lead to lots of people streaming back into churches, it's good to be able to plant that seed in them, plant that seed about their faith and about the role that God plays in their life, and helping it to grow through all the different activities that they take part in.
What do you find the most rewarding part of this work?
For me, I think I think it's just like, obviously when we have retreat days, that's only for a day, but even in that short amount of time, like, such a strong bond can be made. And, you know, they see that people with a strong faith aren't different, they're not weirdos, if I could say that. You know, we're normal people, but we just have a strong faith. And, you know, when it comes to mission weeks, well, we spend a whole week in a school. We basically just take over the school for the week. And by the end of the week, you know, we start off on the Monday and the young people don't really know us. They don't approach us. They don't speak to us. And by the end of the week, you know, such a close relationship's made. And, you know, they just relate to us so much because it is peer-to-peer ministry.
You're also talking about going abroad, going to World Youth Day, you mentioned, yeah. Also travelling to Lourdes. That's also a very powerful experience, isn't it, for people if they're on it for the first time?
Exactly. It's amazing. And, you know, what you were saying before about being involved in the church, well, what I've realised over the past few years is that, you know, it is all good so young people attend in church and stuff, but, you know, there's the more active side of going to church. So, you know, Lourdes is part of that. When you're pushing the sick pilgrims around Lourdes, well, that's service. And, you know, Jesus taught us to basically serve others. And so it's a brilliant part, whether you're waving a flag at church or you're giving a reading, just because you don't say your prayers daily. It's just great to see young people take, even if it's just a small involvement within parish life. It is an amazing thing.
So when you're talking to young kids, perhaps those who haven't had the same experience, the same background as you, the same upbringing in the church, if you like, what do you find are the most common ways in? What are the most commonly asked questions that people want to know about their faith?
To start with, you end up talking about the football results the night before, or talking about what's going on TV, or who they're supporting in X Factor. And it's from there that the other questions sort of come out. And, like, for example, the other week, someone just said to me, "So do you believe in Jesus then?" And it's quite a simple question. And you would think it's obvious by the fact that we've come in and we're there saying we're talking about our faith and we're here to speak to you. But it's just that starting question can be the start of something bigger and stronger, and develop into people like Becca joining the team after experiencing the work years beforehand.
At that time, I attended church maybe for main occasions, so maybe Christmas and Easter. But, you know, Lourdes, I thought, okay, let's try it out and see what it's all about. And I was just taken back. It was amazing. It was church life in such a fun way. You know, there we were serving sick people and we were attending mass basically every day. But because it was such a fun way to do it, and you had these amazing mates around you, and it's just an amazing experience. And then obviously I came on a retreat weekend, and, you know, as Woody said before, you start off with the little things. So you have icebreakers and fun activities, and eventually you do lead into your faith. So although faith is the main part of it all, it's fun ways around it, and it really engages people. So that's what got me into it, basically really engaged me, and yeah, I love it. Here comes the sun. Here comes the
sun. I say, it's all right. Yeah. Apart from your own experience, do you think the church perhaps overall has lost this sense of fun?
I don't know, you see it in different ways. Maybe in your everyday parishes, it might be missing a bit because people approach faith in different ways. Over the years, people have been taught faith in different ways. And for maybe the older generation, it's kneeling down and saying rosary. Whereas for young people, maybe, they are more experienced in getting up, being lively, clapping along to songs, or maybe even the different type of music that's used.
But would you like to see your form of very energetic, very enthusiastic youth worship, would you like to see more of that in the church as a whole?
I think yeah, it would be a brilliant thing, but obviously you've got to cater for everyone, and, you know, you have traditional members that go to church and that might be a bit different for them. But what's amazing is, you know, we're one youth ministry team, but there are loads of others throughout the country, and, you know, together we're all doing this. We're doing the same lively, interactive way of sharing our faith. And even when you think about schools and school chaplains, they're also trying to introduce the young people into a more fun way of church and trying to engage them in that way.
I suppose appreciating the different ways you can enter into faith,
yeah,
as well,
yeah,
is
definitely
important, because, you know, there's been moments in my life where I've been influenced by a great moment of maybe praise and singing along to some songs that I know and love, and other moments where it's just sitting in silence and taking that time out to just chat with God has been the biggest influence, maybe. So although you need that fun side, in my experience, you also need that time of reflection and quiet to really get personal.
You say that there are similar teams like your own up and down the country. Do you see Liverpool as something of a leader in this work, this peer work, or not?
I'd like to say so, yeah. Yeah, I think we are, like, not to obviously blow our own trumpet, but, you know, it's a well-established team and people do know who we are, and we're based in St. Helens, and, yeah, everyone in St. Helens basically know who we are, and because we work with schools and parishes all over the Archdiocese, well, our names got around a lot, so, as I said before, we could be north of the diocese or we could be south of the diocese and people will still know who we are. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing.
The crazy thing is that Animate is still pretty young. It's only 7 years old now, and we're well known in Liverpool, but also I'm originally from South London, and a local school actually phoned the office asking if we could go and do some work there. But we've obviously been influenced by other teams doing great work as well.
Yeah.
And it's just great to be all pulling in the same direction. No one's trying to outdo each other. We're all in it for the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, the Vatican now is coming along with a synod on the same subject in the autumn, this synod on the new evangelisation. So in the autumn, bishops from all over the world will be gathered here in the Vatican talking about ways of reaching out, ways of proclaiming the gospel anew, afresh. You've clearly got something very good going on here. Do you think you've got a lesson that can be perhaps replicated that could be useful for people in other countries around the world?
I think so, yeah. I think we do have a good starting point for it all, but obviously it also involves other people's ideas, and, you know, other countries might have different opinions about the work that we do. So I think, you know, we've all got that same faith and we want to share the same message. So I think, yeah, take our ideas, but we might gain something from another country or something that gets brought up at that meeting, and it might influence us to do other things.
Presumably when you were in Spain, you must have had some involvement with people, young people from other countries around the world.
Yeah. Oh, it was just amazing. We had a Spanish family. We lived with them for a few days. And so obviously they took us to their parish and their church life. And it was just like the beautiful statues they have. Like, whereas in England, like, we don't have the big processions for Easter and stuff. And obviously in Spain, it's this amazing experience. So maybe that's something England, Liverpool could take away.
World Youth Day as well. I didn't go to Madrid, but I went to the two beforehand, and it really just shows you the worldwide church. And we are a worldwide church. We're not just maybe our local parish and that is the church. We are something bigger, and we need to take something from all across the world and all the different ways that people celebrate their faith and really live it out in all that we do.
It's much easier these days, of course, through social networking and stuff like that. Do you use that at all to be in contact with people you've met on journeys?
Yeah, we do. Like, obviously, the people I've met throughout Lourdes and World Youth Day retreat weekends, etc. I have them as friends on Facebook. But Animate, we have our own Facebook and we have our own Twitter account and we have our own website. So, yeah, Animate itself is, you know, getting the young people we work with. So, you know, the monthly youth masses that we have, or say the Easter Triduum retreats that we've just had and other retreats and various other goings on that we basically do, well, the young people can find out what we're doing and get involved with it all. So, yeah, I think it's a great way of keeping people up to date with what's going on.
If any listeners want to add us, you can add us on Twitter, at Animate Youth, or on Facebook, first name Annie, second name Mate, or look on the website, www.animateyouth.org.
Cross the Mersey, 'cause this land's the place I love, and here I'll stay.
And my thanks there to Richard Netherwood, alias Woody, and Rebecca Wall from Animate Youth Ministry in Liverpool, bringing their reviving spirit to our Vatican Radio studios. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin. You're listening to Vatican Radio, Laudato Jesus Christus.